so much, Leah.
So good to be back home. It was good to be at camp meeting, but also a blessing to be back home. And this morning I was asked about the sermon title. And they said, "Pastor, why are you so violent?" I said, "Well, it's in the Bible." And they said, "Well, if it's in the Bible, then that means it's all right." I don't know about you, but I need to hear a word from the Lord. How about you? Let us bow our heads. Loving Father, you who are good in all things, you who does everything right, and you've called us unto you, to this place at this time. And we humble ourselves before you. We want to hear you. We want to know you. And we desire that your desires become realities more and more in our lives. Send us your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Killing for a blessing. We have been in a journey through the book of Genesis, and today will be no different. Hopefully you brought your Bible. If not, there's one in the pew in front of you. Today gets juicy. Genesis chapter 27, verses 1 through 4. The Bible says, "And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, 'My son.' And he said unto him, 'Behold, here I am.' And he said, 'Behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison, and make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die.'" This chapter starts with some very interesting words. In verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass." That's God's way of saying, dun, dun, dun. Something's coming. Don't miss it. Something's about to happen because it's blessing season. Not just any blessing per se, but remember this. Let me fast forward. Esau is starving. And as he's starving, he asks for some of them tasty lentils. And as the request is made, you know the story. They make a deal. Making a deal over the blessing. Not just any blessing. But this blessing had its connection with the Abrahamic blessing that we find in Genesis 12, verse 2 and 3. "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a what? I will bless those who bless you and curse him who curses you." Watch out. "And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." This blessing was tied to that blessing. And here's the reality, church family. God wants to bless us. God wants to bless you. You see, at prayer meeting, we deliberately take time to hear how God has blessed us this week. Amen? Why do we do such a thing? Why would it be so important to recall how God has blessed us? Well, it's very simple. Because it helps us trust God more. Wednesdays at 6:30, right there, prayer meeting. It's a good thing none of us have any trouble trusting God. maybe it's just me. Is it still sweet to trust in Jesus? Or is it a little bitter and sour to trust in Jesus? Blessed to be a blessing. The Messiah would be part of this blessing. Go figure. From that family tree, and I ask, will others come to know about Jesus through your family tree? Because that's what this blessing is about. You see, Dad is an ambassador for Jesus. You can say amen. Mom is an ambassador for Jesus. And the children are ambassadors for Jesus. That's how this works. I mean, you think our little baby is an ambassador for Jesus? Watch out. She'll throw a smile at you and make you start smiling too. So Dad calls Esau. Dad tells Esau that soon he's to die. Dad commands Esau, and Esau swallows the commands. Here's eager Esau, ready to present himself, because he already knows that Dad is getting kind of old, and that means there must be a blessing with his name on it. Or is there? Isaac is in his golden years, and you might be in your golden years too. He thought he was gonna die soon, but God still had something for Isaac to do. How do I know this? Because Isaac actually lives at least 20 years longer, if you keep on reading down the story. That life might be fragile and your body feels like it too. Amen. But while we still have breath, God still wants to use us for his glory. You see, this was a perfect moment for Esau to say, Dad, I don't know how to tell you this, but I kind of sold my birthright to Jacob. So he's the one who should be getting the birthright. And so I'll call him and let him know that you're expecting him. And I know we'd like to get on Esau's case. Man, terrible thing he did. About to jump on the terrible Esau bandwagon. But there's actually a problem with Dad. And not just one problem, in fact. There are four problems. How so? Well, let's see what the Bible says. Genesis 25, verse 22 and 23, God said, but the children struggled together within her. Who was her? Rebecca. And she said, if all is well, why am I like this? So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two people shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other. And the older shall serve who? The younger. What's Isaac's problem? Number one, doesn't listen to God. Number two, he doesn't listen to his woman. Number three, he disregards the spirit of prophecy. And he is attempting to bless whom God has said not to. So let's rewind a little. Problem number one. We listen to God in his holy word. Some people have the audacity to say that God is silent. I don't know about you, but this looks like a lot of words if you ask me. God is not silent. He's speaking to us through his word and desires to do so every single day. Problem number one. Problem number two. What reason does Isaac have in listening to his woman, Rebecca? I'll tell you what reason. because God spoke to her. That's the reason why. You see, this woman, the church, God speaks to this woman. When God speaks to her and she then conveys a message, we are to listen. Then I'm ecstatic about every single decision that the church makes? No, just come to board meeting. But the decisions that are made, I am to respect. Or else board members will have my head on a platter. What a blessing it is to heed the voice of the church. Problem number three. Was the message that God gave concerning Jacob and Esau a prophecy? Yes, it was. It was regarding what was to happen in the future. And we live in a time in which the popular thing is to disregard the spirit of prophecy. Doing things any such way as we feel like it, as if God hasn't spoken. I mean, so much counsel that God has given us in the writings of Ellen White. Right now, my wife and I are reading through Child Guidance, and it should better be entitled Parental Guidance, because that book is guiding us in how to bring up our baby. And there is something in her writings for every facet of our Christian journey. Counsel on how we do church. Counsel in how we worship, counsel in marriage, counsel in family, counsel in health, counsel in how we do every facet of the Christian walk. Therefore, number four, when we don't listen to God in His Word, when we don't listen to the voice of the church, when we ignore the spirit of prophecy, we then end up making decisions that God could never bless. God was never going to bless Esau. Amen? There's no way you can look at it. It wasn't happening. The blessing belonged to who? Jacob. One last thing about Isaac. Why does he love Esau so much anyway? He loved him so much that he's about to make a huge mistake. I'll tell you why he loves Esau so much. Because of that tasty, delicious, savory food. Because Esau was not only a wonderful hunter, but that brother sure knew what he was doing in that kitchen. But if you boil it down, the motivation, that is, not the food. His love was driven by what he himself could get out of it. So what's the food? Jesus said, in the meantime, John 4, 31 and 35, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat, because one day Jesus was eating as he was going on through with Samaria. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore, disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is what? To do the will of him who sent me and to finish the work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your heads and look at the fields, for they are already white for the what? The food is doing God's will. Whether it was the food that Esau gave Isaac or the food that Jacob gave Isaac, they were both the wrong dish, because in both instances, they were not doing the will of God. Which makes me wonder, what food are we eating? And I'm talking about what we're going to eat in fellowship lunch in a few moments. Is the food that I'm doing the desires that he wants for my life? What does doing God's will have to do with the harvest? Because Jesus said, my will is to do the will of my Father in heaven and to do what with the work? And to finish the work. You see, God's will is that we work and finish the work, for the fields are ripe. Yesterday, I was reminded of the fact that so many people are in pain. Reminded of all the people for whom God died for. People whom God has plans, amazing plans for their lives, when I could be tempted to just worry about me, myself, and I. The story continues. Genesis 27, 5 and on. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence 2 good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, and he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. Lovely. You see, mom knows everything. I mean, what do you do when there's no novelas? You know what novelas are? That's soap operas. What do you do when there's no Instagram? You all in the business. She knew that her husband loved Esau more than Jacob and was bent on giving Esau the blessing that wasn't his, the birthright. Esau just left. Time to put Mission Impossible into effect. And therefore she calls Jacob. And as she calls him, she tells him what he heard. And now takes matters into her own hands to make sure her husband's plans don't come to fruition. Mom shares what she's heard, and now is her downfall. I mean, isn't it a good thing for Jacob to be blessed with the birthright? Yes, it is. He's the one who's supposed to get it anyway. But lying and being deceitful in order to obtain it? No. Think about it. She's telling her son to lie to dad. Talk about a dysfunctional family. Teaching her son to lie. Teaching the one through whose lineage will come the Messiah. Whoa. And you know, at times the same things happen in our days. Where our preachers might be too timid to preach our end time message and instead preach smooth things. And when they do preach the end time message, they look as if they're some strange dude. No, church family, it's still going to rain. And all the events connected with Jesus' second coming, they're still going to happen. That's what the Bible says. Let's continue. Verse 11. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth man. My father, peradventure, will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me, and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice, and go fetch me them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat, such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. You see, in this sequence of events, Dad will find me out. I'm expecting Jacob to say, Mom, you want me to do what? You want me to lie to Dad? I remember one time I lied to my dad. It was the last time I lied to my dad. Seriously. That's all it took. But that's not what you hear from Jacob. Or maybe Jacob could have said, Mom, look, I got the receipt. Esau came one day. He was really, really hungry, and I had my lentils. He asked for my lentils. I said, not so fast. I said, give me your birthright, and you can have it. And so we agreed. And so we don't have to lie to Dad. We can just tell him the truth, because Mom knew the truth. Jacob, he's not even worried about lying. What is he worried about? He's worried about getting found out. That's what he's worried about. And we too are sometimes more concerned about people finding out than about committing the actual sin. How bad is sin? Bad? How about the small sins? Are they bad? How about the big sins? Equally as terrible. Because my Bible tells me the wages of sin is still death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Rebecca was willing that the curse doesn't fall on Jacob. She said, give it to me, I'll take it. But I don't think she estimated how much it would affect her, how much it would affect her husband, and how much it would affect her sons, because she must have known about Esau's character and what he would do once he would find out the news. You see, husband, the spiritual leader, the father, is lied to, and it was her idea. Jacob is to get the blessing through fraud, though he didn't have. Esau, who wasn't crazy about his brother even before the lentils. He wasn't crazy about his brother after the lentils. And now she's willing to sacrifice the unity of her family for what she thought was right. Was it worth it? What she was advocating was an atomic bomb for her family. She herself puts the food, the article of deceptions, in Jacob's hand. Unity? Yeah, right. Let me tell you a little bit about unity. We have unity in God's word. We have unity in our personal prayer time. We have unity as we worship and pray together. Aren't you blessed when you see your brother and sister? And we have unity as we work together to bless others. Now, here's an equally as important question, church family. What are the things that bring unity in our homes? If these things bring unity at home, they also work in the church. You see, when I'm not in the Word of God, guess where it affects me? In my marriage and my family. If I'm not praying, that patience is not as long as it used to be. That grace and willingness to understand and forgive, not so easy. And if mutual, it works both ways. I'm so glad that we can come together to Sabbath school at 9:30 a.m. Sabbath morning. I'm so glad that we can come to prayer meeting Wednesday at 6:30. I'm so glad that we can come and worship on the Sabbath day. You may want to bring a friend next week. And I'm so glad that we can be a blessing to others on the Sabbath day and all throughout the week. But my question is, could there be things at home that are getting in the way to the unity of our families? Something to think about. Maybe there's innocent things that may not be all that bad, but they are not leading to us being together. Are there things that keep us from being united as a church? Could it be time that we choose to do things that unite us rather than divide us? I think so. Let's continue. Verse 18, and he came unto his father and said, my father, and he said, here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. It wasn't even venison for that matter. And Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy, and his brother's Esau's hands, as his brother's Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, come near now and kiss me, my son. Wow. Jacob goes to his father. Jacob lies to his father. Isaac's confused, and Isaac investigates the matter. Jacob could have simply decided not to go through with it. But he not only shows up, but he ends up lying so much he doesn't know what to do with himself. And Isaac's having trouble. Why? Because that was quick. This person who's supposedly Esau, he's working faster than Amazon Prime. Jacob has the audacity to attribute the quickness of bringing the food to his father to who? To God. But you know, Jacob does say a truth. The Lord who's God? Jacob said it right. The Lord your God, Dad. Because God was Isaac's God. It would take a little bit longer for Jacob to say, God is my God. But you know, it could be taking us some time that God be our God. Is God your God? It sounds like Jacob, but it feels like Isaac. Is it really you? Yep, it's me. Put that blessing on me already, would you? Isaac eats the meal and now asks Jacob for a kiss. Verse 27. Raiment, and blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and the plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesses thee. Jacob kisses his father. Isaac smells Jacob. Isaac blesses Jacob. This blessing that Isaac gives to his son, Jacob. It starts with stuff. And you know, God doesn't mind giving us stuff. He knows what we need. Hasn't he promised to supply all of our needs? But there is a condition. Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." The blessing now continues to a position of preeminence among all peoples. How sad. Betrayed by your own son, betrayed with a kiss, and your wife planned it all. Reminds me of Christ, of how he was betrayed with the kiss. Betrayed by one of his own disciples as he was working together with the religious leaders of his day. Interesting. The Bible continues. And it came to pass as soon as Isaac made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat and brought it unto his father and said unto his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that my soul may bless me, that thy soul may bless me." And Isaac, his father, said unto him, "Who art thou?" And he said, "I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau." And Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, "Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him, yea, shall be blessed." Jacob leaves and Esau arrives. Esau presents dad with a meal. Isaac reinvestigates what's going on, and the truth surfaces. Jacob exits dad at just the right time, if you ask me. Esau is ready to give his dad the meal and then to receive the blessing, but it's the blessing that he didn't want. The blessing that he sold. The blessing that would never be his. And you know, there's something else to this blessing. It required spiritual leadership. He who received it was to lead his family in the ways of the Lord. And let me tell you, when we follow Jesus, Jesus blesses us doubly. Yes, doubly. How do I know? Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven." Now get this. "For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same?" So God blesses those who follow him and those who don't. So when we receive extra blessings, well, that's just a little more than what other people have. Why? Because we've put God first. I want to put God first in my life today. How about you? Dad realizes he's been deceived. Blessing he gave Jacob, he's got that blessing, and Esau can't do anything about it. Let's continue. "And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, 'Bless me, even me also, O my father.' And he said, 'Thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing.' And he said, 'Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing.' And he said, 'Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me?' And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, 'Behold, I have made thy Lord and all his brethren have I given to him for servants. And with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, Behold, thy dwelling shall be with the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve who? Thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. And so here we see how Esau cries. He asks for a blessing. Isaac tells him the truth, and that Esau will be serving Jacob. Esau cries, but Esau's not sorry. Esau cries, but there's no change in his life. Esau cries, but he still got two wives that were not the plan of God. Esau cries, but there's no repentance. Do we ever do that? If I choose to reject God and the purpose that he has for my life, then I'm determining the blessing that I am to receive. The blessing that God wants us to receive not only is for us, but for others to be blessed as well. Now here's the moment in the story where the judge granted. What is this decision based on? This decision is based on the truth. And here's the truth of the matter. There's no more birthrights. There's one birthright. And guess who's got it? Jacob. Why? Because you didn't want it. And now the truth starts to sink into Esau's mind. I'd like to say that later changed for Esau, but the Bible says in Hebrews 12, 17, for you know that afterward when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for what? Repentance. Though he sought it diligently with tears. This is Hebrews chapter 12. And you're saying, I know that, Pastor. Which is different from Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is the what chapter? Oh, that's right, the faith chapter. So what's the big deal? Esau's not in the faith chapter. Things could have changed for Esau if he repented. If he realized how much God loved him. If he chose to accept God's will for his life. And as we read about in Esau chapter 27, in chapter 27 of Genesis, that moment in his life, he failed to recognize how that decision would be affecting not just his life, but generations to come. Because it's later on in the scriptures that we read about those Edomites that were a thorn of the children of God. That generation was starting right now in Esau's life. My question, church family, is what's starting in your life? What's starting in your life right here, right now, that is going to be affecting generations to come? Are the decisions that you and I making right now being able to influence our children and our children's children closer to God? Or are we making decisions that influence our children to be godless individuals? What's starting in your life right now? Verse 41. And Esau loved Jacob. No? And Esau hated Jacob because of what? Oh, that's right, the blessing. wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will slay my brother Jacob. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. And she went and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to do what? To kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice and arise, flee to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away, until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. Then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? Wow. Esau hates Jacob. Esau plans to kill Jacob. And mom tells Jacob to go to Laban. And mom worries about Jacob's future spouse. Listen to this. To gain the birthright that was his already by God's promise, Jacob resorted to fraud. And he reaped the harvest in his brother's hatred. Through 20 years of exile, he himself wronged and defrauded, and was at last forced to find safety in flight. And he reaped a second harvest, as the evils of his own character were seen to crop out in his sons. All but too true, a picture of the retribution of human life. Did Jacob know the prophecy? Yes, he did. Did Jacob trust God with this promise? No, he didn't. Was Jacob's life greatly affected because of it? Yes, it was. Killing for a blessing. Esau wanted to kill Jacob for the birthright that he lied about and took, but he's not the only one who was killing for a blessing. The blessing that Jacob yearned for and once obtained now became a curse to him because he didn't wait on God, he didn't trust God, and now he's willing to be killed because of the blessing. And you know what? Some of us are wishing we had God's blessing. And the truth is, God is ready to give us his blessing right here, right now. But if the blessing is all we want, then we've missed the point. It's time we desire the giver of the blessing. Come, thou fount of every blessing. Tune my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing. Calls for songs of loudest praise. Teach me ever to adore thee. May I still thy goodness prove, while the hope of endless glory fills my heart with joy and love. Got some good news for us today. There is a way out. Jesus said, the thief comes not to except to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that you may have life. And have it what? More abundantly. How abundant? How abundant is God's blessing? This blessing for Jacob is a blessing for you. This blessing for Jacob is a blessing for me. How do I know? Because the Bible tells me so. Zechariah 8, verse 12 and 13, our last verse for the day. For the seed shall be prosperous. The vine shall give its fruit. The ground shall give her increase. And the heavens shall give their due. I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these. And it shall come to pass that just as you were a curse among the nations, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so I will save you, and you shall be a what? Do not fear. Let your hands be strong. The blessing that was given to Jacob is a promise for us of the blessing that God will give to us in glory. But you might be thinking, there's a little bit of Jacob in me. I may have not only been lied to, as he later was, but I may have also told some lies. Not just that, but at times, people may have wanted to kill me. And sometimes I may have wanted to kill them too. I want to have a closer walk with God. I want to not only be connected closer to Jesus, but I want my family closer to God. And I need to seek the Lord now more than ever. Is there somebody here today who is realizing that it's time to draw closer to Jesus in your life, in your spouse's life, in your family's life, in our church's life, and that we might be able to not only receive the blessing that God has in store for us, it's time we give them the blessing. Is that what you want to do? If that's your desire, I'd like to invite you to stand. As we make our decision to come to Jesus, and Jesus will guide us all the way.
Five 16, all the way.
Father, thank you because you have given us Jesus, the one who was victorious over every sin and temptation. Thank you because in Christ, he shows us the way
And today we want to walk in your ways. We want truth in our minds and our hearts. We want to do things that bring us closer to you, things that bring us closer to our spouse and our family members, things that bring us closer as a church. And as we keep our eyes on Jesus, as we receive blessings from above, may we pray and move forward by faith to impart these blessings, for the harvest is still ripe. Prepare us for the mission that you have given us today. Move your church, O God, as we prepare for your coming. In Jesus' name, amen.